Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download the Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 118 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have a really fun episode in store today, talking some prospect risers and fallers from our recent updates on FantraxHQ.com. And with me to break it all down, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, what's going on, man?
Not too much, man. We grilled out tonight. Actually, we say we grilled out. We used the Blackstone grill. We made some hibachi, man. It was good. So got a full stomach and talking some baseball. So not much better to do.
Dude, that's like the ultimate combination. Full stomach. I guess I ate some steak tips tonight. I grilled out as well with Mike. If there is, I can't think of any right now. But
that's true.
Got a really fun episode though, like I mentioned. Prospect risers and fallers. Like, so we both put out our top 400 updated prospect rankings on Fantrax HQ. Mine were last Tuesday. Chris's were yesterday on Sunday when you're listening to this on Monday. And just a quick programming note, we are recording Saturday night. It's about 9 p.m. Eastern time Saturday right now. Can't record tomorrow on our usual day, so any stats that you hear are as of Saturday before Saturday's game's finished. So just a little note there in case you're wondering why they might sound a little off. But we're actually going to break this into two episodes. Part two will come out on Wednesday. Today we're talking just pitching risers and fallers, prospects, obviously. And then we'll do hitting prospect risers and fallers on Wednesday's episode. And then we'll do a third episode on Friday. So a nice little three-episode week. We could not. So we put all the names on the list, and it would have been a four-hour pod. So we just had to break them up. But before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy this podcast, please write and review. Check out our Patreon for extra content from both of us and our YouTube channel for plenty of live prospect video throughout the season. And one fun little perk of our Patreon is that we've been posting our updated rankings, you know, a couple days before we post them on site. So nice little early look perk for our Patreon peeps. And of course, check out all the other great work we have going on over at Fantrax HQ with multiple fantasy baseball articles coming out every single day. All right, enough of that. Let's get into it. We still got a lot of names, even with two different episodes here. So we got plenty of names to talk about. Like I mentioned, we're talking pitchers today. We'll start with a couple of the bigger names here. Probably the biggest name on this list is Cade Cavalli, who has not been very sharp this season and kind of dating back to last season too. So far this season, though, in six starts in AAA, 27 and two-thirds innings, a 6.18 ERA, 1.37 whip, 9.8% walk rate, and a 20.5% K rate. So that walk rate has still been an issue. It's kind of popped up last year. I saw him live last year. I believe it was in July, if I recall correctly. And like, the stuff's good. Like, there's no doubting that the stuff is good. But just the command and control was really inconsistent in that start. And it's kind of backs up at stuff I've seen in the video. And now he's not even missing bats at a high clip, only a 20.5% K rate, which is below average. So he's fallen down for both of us. He's clinging the top 100. I think he's like in the mid-90s for me right now. Where do you have him, Chris? And what are your thoughts on Cavalli in general?
Let's see. I have to pull up where I have him. But it's weird because when he hit AAA last year, the strikeouts went. It's almost like the walks went down with the strikeouts. It's kind of bizarre. And the swinging strike rate actually backs up the drop in strikeouts. And I don't know. I just feel like there's so much reliever risk here. He's got an excellent fastball and change, good slider as well. But the command obviously isn't there. The delivery is pretty violent, in my opinion. Yeah. He just presents a lot of risk. And I did find I've got him 108 right now in the new update. But you look, in the surface numbers, I mean, they're not good at all. I mean, 6.18 ERA, 1.37 whip. But beyond that, to see the strikeout rate tick down so much is a huge concern for me. Still, you know, he's got the lowest. Well, he walked 7.6% of hitters last year in high A, but then 14.4% in double A and 10.7% in triple A. And this year, repeating triple A, he's at 9.8%, which is actually an improvement. But it's the fact that he has just a 10.7% K minus BB rate. I mentioned the swinging strike rate dropping pretty significantly. His FIP is 3.84, but I don't know. I guess that comes with the fact that he has such a low strand rate, it's 51%. So some bad luck there in the profile, but he's not putting the ball on the ground as much as he was in the past. Surprisingly, the home run to fly ball rate is still really low. You'd think it could be a little higher looking at the ERA, but you know, overall, just I don't know. The profile does concern me a good bit here enough where I'm kind of leaning towards maybe some more reliever risk than I was last year. So, yeah, he fell for me pretty significantly as I'd gotten pretty high on him at one point, but I'm fearing that he could fall a little bit further if this continues.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm guilty of it too. I was high on him as well. I remember after seeing him in that start, I tweeted out something along the lines of that, you know, this is a, you know, top five pitching prospect at the time. And while I don't say, I don't disagree with my notion of that time, but I think I was kind of not putting as much stock into the reliever list at that time as I probably should have. And now it's definitely even higher. I'd probably say, I don't know, what would you put it for like a starter reliever split? I'd say like 70-30. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair at this point. I would have said below 50% before the season started, though.
Yeah. It's definitely, the real risk has definitely gotten higher, that's for sure. So I think he still could be a good starter. Like, so the stuff is there to have the K rate tick back up, and maybe he's like a back-end mid-rotation guy, but there's easily a chance he could be like a 7th, 8th inning guy as well. So definitely that reliever risk is huge for fantasy purposes. So yeah, he's dropped a good amount for both Chris and I in our rankings, both to a right around 100 overall, give or take a little bit. The other one here, and this guy hasn't even pitched this year, but just adding to more injuries he's had, dating back to his collegiate days at Georgia, that's Emerson Hancock. And when he's been on the mound, he hasn't been bad by any stretch. And he actually had a 2.62 ERA last year and a 1.03 whip. So he wasn't even bad last year, but the command of the fastball is the issue here. So maybe Hancock, it was a little harsh, but Hancock on this list, maybe because the stats haven't been terrible, like I mentioned. But same time, this is not nearly the Hancock we saw coming out of Georgia, where he was like, there was that big three. It was Max Meyer, Asa Lacy, and Emerson Hancock. And we'll talk Lacy here in a little bit as well. Two of them have had, you know, they've seen their stock go down. Obviously, Max Myers has gone up, and he's on the brink of making his major league debut probably the next few weeks. But Hancock, just like, he still got the decent stuff. That's why I think I've always been a little bit higher than most on him, because he's shown, you know, two good breaking pitches. He's shown a really good changeup, and he's shown at times a good fastball. He has the velocity there, just the command has not been there. So he's a hard one for me to value, because like, it's hard to, you know, tick him down too much just because of the stats on the surface have still been there. But I don't know, he's just a hard one for me to rank. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, same. He's actually making his debut on Tuesday with AA Arkansas, so they'll definitely want to track. But the injuries are a pretty big risk here, in my opinion, which does factor that in. Plus, just the reports. I know there's no game data to go by, but the reports just haven't been great on him all offseason, so that does concern me a bit. So, you know, he did drop a considerable bit. He was already trending downward for me. I actually have him ranked 195. Man, that's a big drop for him. Wow. He was in my top 100 previously, so I'm just gonna need to see more out of him. Hopefully we do see that. But even last year, you know, you look and I don't know, the strikeouts aren't there at all, and the walks were up considerably from like his college days. Like, you know, command control was a big factor for me, for and plus his arsenal, like that combo, like was the reason that I liked him as more than Asa Lacy and Max Meyer in that draft class. And that some of that's just kind of gone by the wayside. So I want to see some more consistency from him this season and just see him pitch consistently as well. So yeah, he's got to be on the mound.
Yep. Yeah. That's part of the battle, right? You got to actually play to accrue value. So yeah, I have Hancock 103 still. He was in the 60s, you know, before the season. So he just hasn't dropped quite as far from me as Chris has him. But I guess I've always been a little bit higher than most on Hancock, just because I think just that potential is there. I still like him a considerable amount more than Lacy at this point. Obviously, I'll have Max Meyer much higher than him, but I just still look at the entire arsenal and just think, like, all right, what could happen if that command ticks up with the fastball? He starts missing bats at a higher clip. Obviously, he has to actually do that, and to do so, he has to get on the mound. Two big things, but and I'm still holding out hope. So I haven't dropped him too far yet, but definitely agree with Chris. I think this is going to be a big year. He's already got off to a late start. He had that lat injury that caused him to miss the first month of the season, debuting on Tuesday. Need to see something out of him this year. So this will be a very big year for Emerson Hancock, that is for sure. Moving over to Asa Lacy, he has been even worse than Hancock has this season. And he's only pitched in two games, 9 2/3 innings, 4.66 ERA, 1.14 whip, still has a high walk rate, 11.6%, is getting the K rate back up, 30.2%, but similar, you know, issues with Hancock, and then even more, you know, higher level of issue here. He's injured and he's walking too many guys, and he's walking more guys than Hancock was. So at this point, I think Lacy's a reliever long-term. If I had to throw $100 down my own money, starter or reliever, I'm leaning reliever. And he could be a pretty solid, maybe he goes like the AJ Puck route, but I don't know. I just don't. And I think he can. I'm not saying there's no chance he can start, but I don't know. I think this is a lot of reliever risk here for Lacy. And they say he could be a good one, but I don't know. That's why he's dropped way down my rankings. How about you, Chris?
Yep. Who is the bigger bullpen risk for you between Lacy and Cavalli?
Lacy.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they both present risk, but it's definitely Lacy to me looks like a elite back end option of the bullpen, honestly. Like the fastball slider combo, so good. I mean, like Josh Hader, you know, esque. Like obviously no one's Josh Hader, but he could go that route where I could see him thriving in the back end of a bullpen. So we'll see. The command controls definitely concerns me for his ability to be a starter long term. But the strikeout stuff's definitely there. The swinging, I mean, gets so many hitters to swing and miss, which is obviously a big ordeal. But I just think his stuff really plays up in a short stint. So I think it could really benefit him to move to the bullpen.
Totally agree. And again, he could be a very good bullpen. I'm like, I think we're both kind of in agreement there. So that's why, like, there's still some value there. Obviously, relievers' value drops in Dynasty, but that's why I haven't dropped him like a ton. He's still 152 for me. Probably should have gone lower than that. Maybe should have gotten closer to 200, but I still think there's a chance he could turn into a pretty good reliever for fantasy purposes. So still has that path, but not really seeing a high chance of him starting anymore, unfortunately. Who knows? They could turn him around there in Kansas City, but for now, I would bet money on reliever. Another lefty here from my Boston Red Sox is next on the list, who I've seen live already this year and probably will see again this upcoming week. Jake Room. I think he was number 12 overall pick back in 2016, who then didn't pitch for four seasons, 2017, 18, 19, and 20, I believe it was, or something like that.
A couple innings in 19, and then obviously the missed. He threw innings, but it wasn't anything significant.
Yeah. That's right. So basically missed like four seasons because of various injuries, and then obviously the 2020 lost season. He did not look impressive in my live looks. And of course, his next outing, he went like six innings, two runs, 10 Ks, something like that. But overall, I just don't, at best, number five starter profile for me. The fastball velocity is okay. Bony factor in command, it's probably a 45 grade fastball overall for me. Got a good curveball, but changeup has not really developed at all. So, again, I think he's back-end starter, and if he's in the bullpen, I don't think he's high-leverage, sixth, seventh-inning guy, maybe. So, or maybe he's a, you know, multi-inning, you know, guy like that. I don't know. I just don't see a path, any of these paths that I can see for Groom. None of them are highly valuable for fantasy purposes, unfortunately. So, he's not even in my top 100 anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's hanging on by a thread. Let's see where he dropped to for me. Oh, he's 323, so he's still in it, but you're right. I'm not sure. I mean, I saw him last year, and then before he got sent up your way, he had times where he looked okay, but even in high A last year, as a 22-year-old, he still finished with a 5.29 ERA and above a 1.30 whip. I just don't really see it here. You see kind of his swinging strike rate has kind of declined as he moves up levels, which is a concern as well. He did get a lot of hitters swing and miss in high A, but that dropped in double A last year, and it's dropped even more in double A this season. So, yeah, I don't really know where he fits into the picture for the Sox long term, which when you struggle to be able to project that, I think that's easy to drop him for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, and there's so many other guys in the system that are probably better long term. Like, no doubt, Brayan Bello, Brennan Walter, both of those guys we'll talk about later on, and Chris Murphy I would take over him. And then there's like other guys that you could put over him, like Wilkerman Gonzalez, and the guy could rise above him, probably is above him already. And then, you know, when you get Noah Song back from the Navy, and then Thad Ward and Brian Mata when they get back from injury, this is, he could be like eighth or ninth on the pitching depth chart. So, yeah, I don't see a path for him. It sucks. I wish there was, because he was our first round pick 5 years ago or 6 years ago now in 2016. So you want him to have some value here for your team, but just don't see it. Another one in the AL East here, Ian Seymour has had a very, very bad season so far. Five start, 16 and two thirds innings, 8.10 ERA, 2.04 WHIP, 28.4% K rate looks pretty good, but 14.8% walk rate, which is one of the higher ones on the entire list of guys we're talking about tonight. So some issues there. what are your thoughts on Seymour here, Chris? And how far has he fallen in your rankings?
Well, I think he just fell for me mostly because I probably got a little high on him last year. So I dropped him to 230 from 138 last year. I think I just probably got a little high on him. He was pretty good last year, which, you know, was encouraging, even though it wasn't a large sample. We saw him go from low A all the way up to triple A, and he pitched well at every level. But again, small sample sizes, and even still just a small sample size so far this season. He's had a lot of injury issues as well that doesn't really help his case here, and you just need to see more consistency from him. I mean, and I don't know. The arsenal, I think, can be good, but it's just a lot of averages, like average pitches across the board. And until we see him consistently pitching at a solid level, then, yeah, it's going to be concerning, especially when you look and see his walk rate and the way it's been, even at a lower level last year. Again, we haven't seen enough innings to make a definite on him, but I think that's another – just the concern itself is that we haven't seen that many innings. So he needs to pitch. He needs to stay healthy.
Yeah. He is in Tampa Bay, so that does bode well for him. But maybe they can turn him into, you know, a nice lefty out of the pen. Who knows? But he doesn't get that walk rate down. Like I said, and he doesn't have any of the big – he doesn't have any plus offerings. You know, he's got fastball, slider, changeup. They all could be 50, maybe 55s in any given start. But – nothing really stands out with the arsenal. Doesn't have the big velocity. So he really needs that command and control to be there and just hasn't been there, especially this season up in Double A with Montgomery. 23 years old. It's not like he's, you know, that's not super old for a prospect, but it's not like he's 20, 21, still developing. He was a collegiate arm out of Virginia Tech, he went to, I want to say, or Virginia, one of the two. Anyway, so it's not like he's a young pitcher anymore. So I don't know. Yeah, I just don't see. Maybe he's a back end starter, but I don't see much upside past that, unfortunately. All right, let's head out west for our next name, Slade Cione. I think we all kind of liked a good amount coming out of that 2020 draft. And last year he was all right, but this year not so much. Six starts, 25 and two thirds innings, 6.66 ERA. That's not a good number. 1.36 WHIP. The walk rate's good, 4.2%. It's actually one of the better rates on the list of names we're talking about this evening. Key rate is okay, 23.7%, but just having an issue keeping guys off base. He's given up too much contact. That WHIP's high. Obviously, the ERA is high. He wasn't a guy that projected highly anyway. It wasn't like he was a guy that had number two upside or anything like that. He's more like a number three, number four type guy. And now you got to wonder, is he even that high? And as he get passed on the list by some of the guys like Ryan Nelson, Dre Jameson, guys like that, maybe Brendan. I can't say that last name, Brendan.
Fast. I don't know. That's how I say it.
The PF, and then there's a double A, and then a DT. Nothing about that name. Fat. Like my mouth doesn't like anything about that name. Anyway, but there's a lot of names that probably have jumped ahead of him at this point. So where does he project for them long term? I said he's not been doing good this year in double A. Maybe he's a bullpen arm, good fastball slider combination, but everything else has been a work in progress and hasn't really shown any improvement. He hasn't really established a good or even a serviceable third offering. The command and control have always been kind of been erratic. So maybe he's a bullpen arm. Maybe he's a good setup guy. Who knows? But definitely has seen his value go down this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing. He's got a big fastball. Like we saw it, you know, at times get up to like 97. I thought the slider's been pretty impressive as well, but just not really putting it all together. And, you know, we're seeing that right now. He's giving up a ton of home runs, which, you know, obviously could be inflating his numbers a little bit right now. But still, it's not what you want to see, honestly, from a pitcher like him who really needed a strong season this year after not only getting 59 innings last year because he dealt with some injuries. Again, we're seeing a trend, injuries. So I just fear that this is another one where injuries are going to continue to delay his progress, and we're not seeing the results that we need to see.
And I'm starting to wonder too. I was just thinking about this while you were talking. Does Arizona like have a bad track record of developing pitchers? It looks like they might actually. Like, yeah. Looking at their current rotation, they didn't develop any of these guys. Like, they didn't develop Gallen. They got him after he was done developing with Miami, pretty much. You know, the rest of the rotation isn't even that good. Well, Merrill Kelly, they got him. Came back over from the KBO, excuse me. And the last couple of names I can remember that have gone up for them have just not worked out. Like, first names I think of Corbin Martin and JB Bukauskas. And we've seen how their command and control has limited them to the bullpen, and they've been injured a ton. So, I don't know, maybe it's an Arizona thing. Maybe we should just ding Arizona pitchers a little bit because of their track record. I don't know. But, yeah, Cione, maybe he's the next one. Next Corbin Martin, next J.B. Bukauskas, moving to the bullpen. We'll see. But definitely not having a good season. And neither has Cole Wynn, unfortunately, who had a good, nice bounce-back year from Cole Wynn in 2021 after he had a couple of years of battling command issues, injuries, the whole nine. So seeing him bounce back last year was very encouraging. Last year between AA and AAA, 21 starts, he had a 2.41 ERA, 0.86 whip, and well over a K per inning, and still had a little bit of higher walk rate, but not terrible. But this year, he's gone the exact opposite direction. Seven starts, 31 in the third inning, 6.03 ERA, 1.60 whip, and more walks than strikeouts, which is, for a pitcher, not good. Hitter, very good. Pitcher, not so good. Especially for a guy like Cole Wynn, who's always been a pretty good K-rate guy, not missing bats, kind of like Cavalli to the extreme. He's not missing bats at all, 14% K-rate, 14.8% walk rate, so that all the gains he made with the command and control have gone, especially with the control, have gone out the window, it seems like, this year. Why? I don't know, but Cole Wynn has been absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I really thought that he could potentially crack that rotation in Texas by the end of the season. I mean, he made AAA last year, so why not? But he's not going to now. It's easy to try to say he's had some bad luck, but I mean, the strand rate's not overly low at 61.3%, maybe a little bit low, but even then, it's like his BABIP is still one of the higher ones of his career right now. But I still think, like, his closer to league average, he wasn't going to run a 211 or 196 BABIP like he added other levels. So I don't know. I mean, the strikeout stuff is the biggest concern. The walks, where they are, even more a concern. But really, that's just kind of who he is. I mean, every level that we've seen him pitch more than eight innings, the walk rate has been, you know, pretty high, minus the stint in AA last year. But then, so I'm just, I don't know. I'm a little concerned. Who knows which way this is going? Because it's almost been like a huge roller coaster ride with him. We're like, out of the draft, like he was, you know, big time, and then just kind of fell off quick, and it's, you know, riding the Cole Wynn ride. So where it'll take you next, not really sure, but doesn't look promising.
Yeah, and another guy too, where is there over a 50% chance of reliever risk here? What do you think, Chris? You think he's a reliever long term, or you think he's a starter still?
I mean, he's not going to be a reliever if he can't strike guys out, but if he can get back to that level, then sure, I think there's that chance. But I would say that the risk is certainly there.
And that's a common trend in this episode, as you can see. Injuries, you know, reliever risk, command issues. Like, these are the common things that we like to look for here in terms of guys that are rising up our list or falling. And this time, obviously falling. Last name on the followers here, which another guy that I had top 100 preseason, who is now out of it. But out of all these names, he might be the one I'm most willing to buy into as a bounce back. That's Brandon Williamson of the Cincinnati Reds. It's kind of weird that he gets traded from Seattle to Cincinnati, and all of a sudden he just becomes a completely different pitcher. Like, this is a guy always had huge, huge K rate and swinging strike rate. Right this year, swinging strike rate is 9.9%. And the K rate has dropped down to, I went to the wrong screen here. K rate has dropped down to 25%, which obviously is still not terrible, but he was mid to upper 30s basically forever. We saw really dynamic arsenal, especially that fastball, good trio of secondaries as well. Now he's got a 5.08 ERA through six starts with a 1.62 whip and a 14.5% walk rate, which walk rates has always been kind of like the worst part about his game, but again, never to the point where it was a detriment to his value or hurt him in any way. It was like 8-9%, but now it's 14.5%. That's very concerning. Maybe it's just a bad six starts to start the season. That could be it, but I don't know. I am a little worried, but again, the stuff is still really, really good. So I got to wonder if this is, like I said, just a bad stretch to start the season. He's going to bounce back. But what are your thoughts on Williamson, Chris?
Yeah, it's kind of been a up and down ride for him this year too, where he's had some starts where he's looked good and some just complete blow up starts. So it's kind of just been, you know, you're not sure what you're going to get from start to start. So I don't know. The command has kind of been erratic some this year. He's allowed some home runs. He has had starts where he's looked dominant, struck out a lot of guys, but it's just kind of hit or miss with what you get from him. The fastball velo just kind of not there, sitting like 91, 92 this year. I don't know. I'm a little concerned about him and his prospects. I really thought he was a top 100 guy, but not really the case for me anymore. And hopefully he gets back on track, but man, you just look and what are the Reds doing? Like, does he not want to be in this organization? I don't really know.
Yeah, you got to wonder. Seattle's got a pretty good track record developing lately. Cincinnati, oh, they've Hunter Green and Lodolo. So it's not like they, Cincinnati's been a bad PD org from a pitching perspective. But, man, it's not a good start to his Cincinnati tenure. And, yeah, he's first start, 4 innings, 5 runs, and then 5 innings, 1 run, 4 innings, 1 run, 3 1/3, 5 runs, 6 innings, 1 run, 6 innings, 3 runs. So, yeah, it's definitely been up and down. It's like 3 starts of 1 run and then 3 of 3 or more and 2 of 5. So definitely up and down a year. I'm still pretty high on him. So if for me personally, I can't speak for Chris, obviously, but if I had to pick, I'll ask you who your pick is here. Like if you had to buy into one, like who's the one that you were most confident in bouncing back off out of all of these followers, I would give the gold medal to Williamson, the silver medal to probably Hancock, and then this bronze to, I don't even know, but Williamson and Hancock would be my two picks. Who are your two picks here? Or just your one pick?
Yeah, I mean, I guess Williamson and Hancock would probably be the two that I think could bounce back most.
Okay, so we're in agreement there. That sounds good. All right, the followers section is done. We'll take a quick break here, come back on the other side, and get in some risers. Obviously, much more exciting part of the show. We figured we'd get all the followers out of the way. Now we get into the guys that are rising up our rankings. A lot of fun names here. So we'll get right into that when we get back. So don't go anywhere.
We'll be back with more Fantrax Toolshed right after this.
All right, welcome back from the break. Let's start with a couple Cleveland Guardians right-handed pitching prospects that are flying up rankings. One was already pretty high, but continues to rise because every start, I've never said that.
I love the playoffs. Anything can happen. But the best part, it's like bonus football. And bonus football means betting bonuses with Gambit DC. For a limited time, get up to a 57% multi-sport parlay boost on the Gambit DC app, online, or at any Gambit DC retail location throughout the district. It's the most exciting time to be a fan. So make your play and get the home field advantage with Gambit DC. Limited time offer. Terms and conditions apply. Please bet responsibly.
A pitching prospect is must-see television, but Daniel Espino is must-see television. He is just absolutely dominant. 18 in the third innings this year. He has a 51.5% strikeout rate, 2.45 ERA, and a 0.71 whip. Only a 5.9% walk rate as well. So we've seen the elite stuff stay, and we've seen the command and control continue to slowly get better. He's dominating in Double A. I'm hoping to see him later this season. If he's still there, who knows? But Espino, like, he's got number one pitching prospect upside. I think he's going to be my number one because by the end of the season, you're going to see Grayson Rodriguez probably gets up enough time to exceed 50 innings. Boz, if he gets back from injury soon enough, should as well. And then Kirby just got called up, and I'm sure he'll get past 50 innings as well. So that leaves Espino, who's already in my top 20. I put him top 20 this past update. I think he's that damn good. I don't know. Maybe I've always been a bit higher on him than most, but is Espino your number one after those three guys graduate, Chris?
I think it's a fair argument for that. I mean, he's just been that good, and it's hard to argue against the results. It's hard to argue against that arsenal. So, you know, he moved up pretty significantly for me, and I think that he definitely stands one of the better chances to take that top spot.
Yeah, he's 16th overall for me right now. Kirby's 18th, Boz 12th, and Gio at 11th. So I think he's already pretty close to those two. And he's doing so. And he's the youngest of this quartet as well. Only 21 and a half years old. Won't be 22 until the offseason. So he's dominating a higher level of the minors at a young age. And dominating is not even the right word. Like, he is demolishing. I don't even know. Like, any word better than that to use. That's what he's doing. So, and another one in this Cleveland org that we talked about a little bit this season as well in this podcast, Gavin Williams from you know, the collegiate standout that rose up draft boards a couple of years ago. This year, six starts, 30 in the third innings, 1.48 ERA, 0.76 whip, 8.9% walk rate, and a 40.2% K rate. He's a guy that has almost made my top 50. Where is he right now? 61 overall as my number 11 overall pitching prospect. But he's another guy that I could see him easily getting up into the Max Meyer, Jack Leiter range of like that second tier of pitching prospects pretty damn soon, because he is nasty, big righty, big fastball, big breaking ball, solid command and control. Cleveland, it's all there.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Yeah, no doubt about that. He's been highly impressive. I liked him coming out of the draft. He was, you know, very dominant at ECU. And then, of course, when he went to Cleveland, that was a big thing for me because, you know, they're just incredible with developing pitching talent. We see it time and time again, and he's just been dominant. He's actually has the most strikeouts of anyone in their system right now in the minor leagues, and that includes Daniel Espino as well. So that's been fun. Dominant swinging strike rate near 19%. It's probably time for him to move to Double A and see what he can do, because, you know, 1.48 ERA, 0.76 WHIP in 30 innings, 40% strikeout rate. Like, time for a new challenge for you. But yeah, he's definitely looked the part, and I think that he's here to stay as one of the top pitching prospects in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's already my number 11 pitching prospect, and I can see him rising up into like that top five pretty damn soon. I think I'm trying to see when they come. Akron comes to Portland later this year. I'm trying to figure out where. I think it's August. Let me quickly scan their schedule here. Do they not? Oh, then they come to Hartford, Connecticut. That's right. So I might make Hartford in the middle of June. So I might take a little road trip, especially if him and Espino are pitching back-to-back days. That is something I would go down there and, you know, buy a hotel room for a night to stay over in Hartford. I did that 3 years ago when Mize and Manning were pitching back-to-back for Double-A Erie. So hopefully they get him up there by the middle of June. That's probably another month or so that series is. Yeah, I can see them giving them the bump. Hopefully they do, because I would love to see him and Espino back-to-back. That would be absolutely phenomenal. Another couple of names here that have risen up into the top 100. Or this guy was already back in top 100, but he's almost top 50 now. Kyle Harrison of the San Francisco Giants. He is number 60 overall for me now, up from 95. And I probably was a bit too low of that 95, but he's the guy one spot ahead of Gavin Williams in my overall rankings. And for good reason, he has been absolutely dominant this season. In five starts, 2.37 ERA, 1.11 WHIP, and a 52.5% K rate. Everyone's talking about how many guys Andrew Painter is striking out, and we'll talk to him in a few minutes here. But that's Harrison's right there with him in terms of K rate. Harrison is only 0.1 percentage points behind Painter in K rate. Walk rate still a little high at 10%, but he's shown some steady improvements in that regard. But this is a guy that continues to develop. He's got the good stuff. He's in the San Fran org, which obviously we've seen what they can do with pitchers. They're one of the best pitching orgs in baseball right now. He's top five. So you got to feel good about that as well. I think you have him even higher than me, don't you, Chris?
Might be. Let me see where he ended up in this
update. I must guarantee you. I'm going to guess, I haven't looked at your rate, because I'm going to guess 46.
54 or so.
Okay.
Yeah, close. So, yeah, I mean, you know, his walk rate has trended upward throughout the season. which that was really a big thing for me. But still, at 10%, like, you can live there in today's environment, especially when you have a 42.5% K minus walk rate. Those strikeouts aren't likely to sustain. It's been, you know, really impressive. I think it is time for him to bump up as well, see what he can do in Double A. But he's certainly got the stuff. The fastball slider combo is really good, and the changeup is a very solid pitch as well. I think the command is, he commands those pitches pretty well. And, you know, the walk rate, when people look at walk rate, they sometimes see command, which isn't true. Like, I do think that Harrison hits his spots pretty well here, and he does a lot of the right things. Yeah, you know, he's doing this while running a 407 BABIP right now. He has that low of an ERA with a 407 BABIP. Like,
that's impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, 300 is about, you know, normal, what you'll see, but 407, that's really high. He keeps the ball in the park extremely well. Really, the only thing you can pimp, like, prick a hole in his game is the walks, and they don't even worry me that much.
Yeah, they don't worry me that much either. Especially, like I said, he's improved in that area. Yeah, he's definitely command over control now, and he's still very young. I think he's still only 20 years old.
He is 20, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he's almost 21. He'll be 21 in a month or two, but yeah, still very young, one of the youngest guys on this list we're talking about here. So definitely think he's due for a bump up as well. And when you look at left-handed pitching prospects specifically, I hate that word. It's for guys that are still in the minor leagues. It's him and then a massive gap. It's because you got Lodolo is in the majors, but he's hurt. And then you got Gore in the majors, Detmer in the majors. Then the next guy in terms of pitching prospects in the minors for lefties is DL Hall, good 40 spots. And then it's like Logan Allen, Brendan Williamson, Liberatore, guys like that. So he, I think, is for guys that are still in the minors, he is the best left-handed pitching prospect by a considerable margin at this point in time. Yeah. Very, very, very enticing arm for sure. Next name on the list here is one of those lefties I just mentioned, Matthew Liberatore, who for pitching prospects, he's one of the guys I've had the biggest roller coaster relationship with. I was super high on him. Then I kind of dropped him down and heard some not so great things with the fastball. And he started this year not so great. First few starts were pretty bad, but he's bounced back in a big way the last handful of starts. Overall, seven starts, he dropped the ERA down to 3.83 and 1.20 for the whip. Again, those might not sound too great, but where they were, and after two or three starts, he's been much better the last five starts or so. 7.4% walk rate, and he's got the K rate up to 28.4%. And again, he's 22 in AAA in a hitter's environment, so that all factors in. He's a guy that could be up with St. Louis pretty soon, don't you think, Chris?
Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him, you know, maybe in the next month or so. I think he's ready. You know, I watched his start the other day against Baltimore. I guess it was Norfolk. You know, Adley Rutschman and G-Rod pitched on the other side. There was a lot of fun names on that start, and he pitched well. I mean, he did walk 4 and 6 innings, but only one earned run, 5K. So he looked pretty solid. He's got the arsenal. That curveball we know is really good, big spinning. Fastball velo is really something that is, I think, lacking a bit, but he does command his pitch as well, and he has a pretty well-rounded arsenal overall. So, yeah, he's been solid this year, and I think the biggest thing for him is that he's just pitching a ton of innings, which is encouraging. We don't often see this a lot with minor league starters, and he's going nearly 6 innings per start, which I would say is pretty notable here. The strikeout rate is up a bit. The swing and strike rate is up a bit from last year. So that's an encouraging sign. I mean, this is a repeat of AAA for him. But I think that tells you what you need to know, because he was in AAA last year, the whole season at 21, and he's 22 now this year. So I think he's ready. I think we get to see him in the big leagues. I bet he throws 50 innings with the Cardinals this year.
I can see that. I totally can see this, especially if he's probably next up on the list here. If they need an arm, you got to think he's the next guy up, and he's, like I said, he's got the AAA experience. He's trending the right way and making the improvements he needs to. So yeah, I think you could definitely see him up probably by June or so, you know, middle to late June. I think you could see him up, maybe even sooner. Could be next week. Who knows? But yeah, definitely he's shooting back up my rankings for sure. Not top 100 for me, but not far off either. Next two names are two younger names on our list here that have probably been two of the more exciting names in the lower minors this season. Ricky Tiedemann from Toronto, Painter from Philadelphia. just listen to these numbers here. Like, if you get all giddy about pitching numbers, these are the two guys for you. Andrew Painter, five game start, 20 innings pitched, hasn't gone up a run yet. So nice little 0.00 ERA, 0.75 WHIP, 9.2% walk rate, and a 52.6% K rate. And then Mr. Ricky Tiedemann, 6 games, 30 innings, which is pretty notable that he's going 5 innings per start right now as a 19-year-old in A ball, 180 ERA, 0.80 WHIP, 11.8% walk rate, which is a little high, but not concerning with his age, and then a 44.5% K rate. Both these guys are absolutely dominating the lower levels in the minors here. I don't know. Let's just go with one of them and talk about it. What do you want to talk about here, Chris? Painter or Tiedemann?
I'll take Tiedemann. I mean, I actually put up a poll yesterday where people were at, whether they have him or Jackson Jobe at this point. You know, Jobe obviously being the third overall pick in last year's draft, and you had Tiedemann, who was at 91st overall. It was closer than I thought. It was 59% to Jobe, which honestly, they ended up, I think, side by side in my rankings, which I'm not sure if that says more about Tiedemann or Jobe, but yeah, I'm 135, 136. So pretty close here. I think Jobe has the chance to develop into a much better starter. Like, the ceiling's pretty high here, but I think right now, like, Tiedemann is a more well-rounded pitcher. Like, from a pitchability standpoint, like, Jobe just needs to learn how to pitch. Like, Tiedemann's already got that, so he's ahead of him in that standpoint. And his arsenal's pretty good in itself. Like, you look and, you know, even his worst starts of the year have been, you know, pretty dang good at that. When you look at the overall line, I think he's going to move up pretty significantly. I bet he's, you know, easily top 100 in the next month or so for Tiedemann. That is, I'm really excited about him. I think that we're just looking at a highly underrated guy that, you know, not many people were in on, but it just worked out extremely well, especially when we saw him, you know, in spring training coming out pumping the fastball. Like, his velo was up pretty significantly, and I thought that was of note, and then it certainly looked like it's paying off.
Yeah, no, absolutely it is. And, you know, the common thing with these two guys, they're both pretty tall guys. Painter, obviously much taller. He's 6'8", but Tiedemann, nice big 6'4", lefty, and already a very advanced kind of pitch, you know, pitching body. I don't know how I want to word this, but he's 6'4", 220. It's not like he's some skinny 19-year-old kid. Like, he's already a very sturdy frame. So, yeah, definitely very intrigued by what I've seen out of Tiedemann. He's already up in high A right now, which is also very notable. So I don't think they'll probably let him stay there for a good amount of time. So I don't think I'll even see him this year in Double A, but probably up to Double A at some point next year. Maybe he starts at Double A next year. Who knows? Maybe he's on the fast track like Yuri Perez, and they get him some Double A time later this year. I wouldn't bet on it, but yeah, I wouldn't rule it out either. He's already in high A. So yeah, definitely very, very intriguing start for Tiedemann. He's a guy like that shows that it's not always about where these guys got picked. Like, ignore that. Look at the talent. And if you got Tiedemann late, excuse me, in your FYPD this past offseason, you know, congrats to you, because you looks like you got yourself a absolute steal so far. Another couple of names here that have really broken out, kind of, I won't say out of nowhere, but these are guys that I didn't see really on any prospect list coming into the season. Neither one of them were in my top 400. That's Roiber Salinas and Gordon Graceffo. Graceffo from St. Louis and Salinas from Atlanta. We'll start with Salinas here, with Chris being our Atlanta fan in the house here. And you saw him earlier this, or a couple weeks ago, and obviously the start didn't go that well and was pretty short, but overall, he's been very impressive this season.
Yeah, I was disappointed. You know, I literally came back in from out of town and drove. Like, I got in, immediately dropped my wife and son off of the house and went to Greenville to watch him. And then he pitched, you know, he didn't even get out of the first inning. But yeah, my understanding of what happened was he was at 31 pitches after the grand slam that he allowed. Like, he had walked the bases loaded and then allowed that grand slam. And apparently Rome has a pretty strict limit per inning. They don't want guys throwing more than 30 per inning. And so that was kind of the easy out there. I was concerned he got hurt because he went back to enter the tunnel with a trainer. But I think he was just finishing out his bullpen, you know, because that was his regular scheduled start. Good news is his last start, you thought maybe he was just a low A darling, but high A, he couldn't do it. Well, his last start against Winston-Salem. He pitched 5 innings. He struck out 10 and only walked one. Only allowed one hit as well. So no earned runs, one hit, one walk, 10 Ks. So, you know, he's 98 on the fastball pretty consistently. The breaking ball is pretty nasty as well. He mixes in a curve and slider. So, you know, that was a lot of fun to watch, like when he did throw it, at least the little bit that I did see. So, yeah, I'll be watching him pretty closely moving forward. The body scares me a little bit. Like, he's like, you know, this reminds me of like Luis Gohara, where like really big body. He was really dominant at the low levels of the minors with a big fastball. And they just couldn't put it all together, like to be a starter or even really make it at the big league level. So that's my fear. Like, that's in the back of my head. But again, we're talking about a guy who just turned 21 years old. So I would say the jury's still out, but I would say overall he's been impressive. Even in the short stint of what I saw, like he definitely flashed what everybody was excited about when he pumps the fastball high in the zone at 98. And then, you know, he struck out Rafael on 3 pitches where he got him on the fastball up, swinging on the first pitch. He dropped a curveball in the top of the zone where Rafael thought it was going to hit him, and he literally ducked and it catches that top corner. And then he dropped the curve where Rafael swung and literally was in the dirt. So that's gives you a picture. I tweeted that video out, those 3 pitches, and that was really the only highlight we got from Roiber that start. But yeah, I mean, I think that he's definitely deserving to be a high riser, but monitor what he's doing in high A moving forward. If these trends stick of him striking out double digits every game, then shoot, I think that, you know, we certainly could see him being capable of being a solid starting pitcher.
Yeah, that curveball looks really sharp too. Really a lot of sharp break on that. Where was he? What was the velocity on the curveball? You remember?
It's like 83-ish.
Okay. So a little bit harder of a curveball. So
yeah,
very impressive. And yeah, I noticed it too. I wasn't putting, I don't know why I didn't put the Gohara, you know, comp to him, but that's a good one. And Gohara, I used to love Luis Gohara. I was such a Luis Gohara guy. I even saw one of his AAA start. It was a rehab start for Gohara. AAA, I drove down to Worcester, not to see Luis Gohara. That was when Ronald Acuna was in AAA. Yeah. So I drove down 3 hours down to Pawtucket, Rhode Island, where the Red Sox AAA team used to be before they moved to Worcester a couple years ago. I see Acuna and also obviously saw Gohara as well. I think he was like an ankle injury at the time, if I recall. But yeah, he hasn't even pitched in the last 3-4 years. Whatever happened to Luis Gohara?
I have no clue, man. I wish I knew. Like, really likable guy. Just, I don't know. There was a lot going on and then hadn't seen much of him since.
Right. He hasn't even, like, his last game in the majors was July 8th, 2018. He hasn't even pitched in the minor league since. That might be a little rabbit hole I go down to try to find, like, what happened, like, one of those, where are they now? Like, what happened to Luis Gohara?
Yeah.
He used to be so damn good, too, in the minor leagues.
He was.
That was a bummer.
Also, I misquoted his velo. I went back and looked at my book. He was, like, 79 on the curve, and his slider was, like, 84 to 86 when he threw it.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It looks harder than 79, though.
Yeah. Yeah. The stadium gun was hit 101 several times on the fastball. And everybody was like, oh my gosh. But obviously, it was like the stadium gun's always a bit hot, especially in Greenville. So, you know, the scout gun beside me. So he was 98 tops, but consistently 96. I'd be curious to know what the velo is at, like deeper in, like when he's in the fifth inning. So, like, right, that'd be something to monitor, I think. But yeah, the stuff is really good.
Absolutely. All right, Chris, who would you rather have, though, Salinas or Gordon Graceffo long-term?
That's interesting. I mean, they've both really, you know, both obviously being big, like, pop-up guys here.
I think the ceiling's probably higher with Salinas.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree there, but it's hard to argue with what we've seen from Graceffo so far this year. I mean, he is a bit older. But still, I mean, the results have certainly been there. It seems like one that we just totally missed on in last year's draft, where he was just, you know, later pick, and turns out he's just been really good for his entire career so far from a professional standpoint. So I don't know. I mean, I think the upsides might be closer than we're going to give him credit for, especially because you look at how good Graceffo's command is and still striking guys out. Like, Roiber doesn't really have that command, so I think they both have similar upsides here.
Yeah, I'm going to lean Graceffo. He's a bit higher in my rankings by about 40 spots or so. And yeah, he is also 1.7% walk rate this year, while still striking out 39% of batters over 33 and two-thirds innings. He's a guy, he's averaging about 5.5 innings per start right now through his first six starts. Definitely a guy that I think that floor is much higher. I think, yeah, you could probably say that the ceilings are similar or closer at least, but I think the floor difference leans me to go Gordon Graceffo personally. All right, let's get back into the AL East here. Some Red Sox and some Yankees here. Brayan Bello, who I talked about him earlier, you know, this season after I saw him, and I'll probably see him again this week, probably on, I think, Tuesday he's going again, and then I'll probably see on Wednesday. I'm blanking. Oh, Cole Henry goes on Wednesday, so nice little back-to-back starts there. I'll go see. But Bello has been dominant this year. Six starts, 160 ERA, 0.83 whip, 9.3% walk rate, 32.6% K rate. Fastball sits 94-96, gets up to 97-98 at times. Really good changeup, sharp slider. It's one of the, you could maybe call it a cutter. It has that kind of shape to it, but he can miss bats with it. He can miss bats a ton on the changeup. He got so many whiffs on the changeup in that start. Fastball looked pretty good as well. Command, you know, he's probably not more than 50 command and control guy, but two plus pitches and an above average third pitch. I think he's a pretty good number three starter long term. So he is now in my top 100 overall. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, he's certainly a top 100 guy. I debated going as high as like 75 on him. I think he ended up in the 90 range for me. And it's certainly the capability to go higher. You know, I got to see him several times last year in Greenville, so we're kind of seeing those guys, and they're shipping them off to you in Portland. But I think he gets the bump soon. I wouldn't be surprised to see him stick around your way much longer either. He's approaching almost at 100 innings in AA, and they've been 100 pretty good innings at that. So.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to get out to see him again this week, because I can't see him being here past end of June. He's going to get that bump at AAA. You mentioned he's been here a good amount of time, and he's been very good in this stint here. So Bayo's definitely rising a ton, and so is Brendan Walter. He's not the flashiest guy around, but he just gets it done. A little bit older, too, 25 years old, but he was actually the Red Sox minor league pitcher of the year last year over Brayan Bello. This year, even with his last start, I think it was like an inning in the third, and he gave up like seven or eight earned runs. Still only has a 2.97 ERA and 0.89 whip in 30 and a third innings over six starts. 34.1% K rate, only a 1.6% walk rate. This is a guy that he doesn't throw super hard. He's like low 90s, but commands it very well. He's got a lower arm slot, gets good run, good sink on that fastball. Has a nice like wiffle ball slider that he can miss bats with. Really good changeup as well. So even though he's a little older, doesn't have the huge velocity, this is a guy, he just keeps getting the job done. And yeah, maybe he's not more than like a number four starter, but I think he could be a very good number four starter and a guy that I think he just always got to continue to surprise and overachieve. So he's one of those guys that might not be sexy to roster him in dynasty leagues, but he gets the job done. So a good like sneaky buy right now in dynasty leagues.
So yeah, I mean, he's one that's moved up pretty considerably. And, you know, everyone would be quick to say, well, he's too old for the level, actually being, you know, 25 in AA. But you've seen him. You've seen how impressive he's been. I saw him last year, and really I didn't give him the credit that he deserved last year when I did see him. But he was good in Greenville at his time there. I mean, a 36% strikeout rate, just a 5.9% walk rate there. Swinging strike rates have been really good at every level. So, and this is one of those cases for Walter where, you know, it's really not his fault that he's as old as he is at the level. I mean, a college guy who was drafted in 2019, we saw him in rookie ball in 2019, then obviously no 2020 season, which really threw that off. And then, you know, last year he, you know, he pitched in low A to high A. So it's hard to blame him for his age at that level. But, you know, I think he could potentially get a shot soon at the big league level. I mean, I think he's more than ready, and the fastball slider combo is good with a good changeup, I think. And I think he's shown really good command of those pitches. And we've certainly seen the control as the walk rate has dropped pretty significantly this year. And it was never bad. I mean, the worst walk rate we've seen of his career was last year in Greenville at 5.9%. So I think Walter's just highly under the radar, and you get him really cheap in Dynasty League.
Yeah, and he can miss bats with all three of those offerings as well. Like I just looked back in my book, and his last start that I saw, he had 10 Ks in six innings, and he had, I think it was three whiffs on the fastball, four on the slider, and five on the changeup or something like that. I was just looking really quickly for my notes, but yeah, he can miss bats with all three, and really good command and control as well. So don't let the age or the lower fastball velo fool you. Like, this guy is just going to get the job done. So moving over to a couple of Yankees here, we'll go quickly as we're getting a little bit longer than we anticipated here. Let's just put them up against each other here. They've both been kind of on the same trajectory, both performed pretty well. Ken Waldichuk and Hayden Wesneski. I just had a brain cramp. Sorry. Wesneski, six starts this year, 29 innings, 2.48 ERA, 0.86 whip, 5.3% walk rate, 28.3% strikeout rate. Waldichuk, five starts, 23 and two-thirds innings, 1.14 ERA, 0.80 whip, 10.1% walk rate, but a 44.9% K rate. Who would you rather have going forward, Chris? Hayden Wesneski or Ken Waldichuk?
Oh, man, I was just comparing them. They're both very similar ages here. Wesneski obviously getting it done at AAA. We saw him make it at AAA last year. But, that doesn't mean a ton for me right now because I'm not sure the AAA hitting environment is that much better for the most part than AA. So, that's, to me, it's pretty close. If I have to pick, I don't know. I'm pretty torn here. Let me just go to my rankings and see who I have higher. That would be the easiest thing to do. I have Wesneski at 170 and Waldichuk at 202. So I'll go Wesneski just because I have him ranked higher. But yeah, I'm really a fan of both, and they both moved up pretty considerably for me.
Yeah, that's right. I have Wesneski higher as well. I think there's a higher floor with Wesneski. I think the command and control is a bit better with him than it is with Waldichuk. Though they're both, it's not like either one of them has bad command and control. And Waldichuk does have the lefty thing going on there. So I think they're both going to be pretty solid, like maybe back in number threes, high in number fours. And it's funny, you thought a couple years ago that the two best pitching prospects coming out of the Yankees might be Waldichuk and Wesneski instead of like Clark Schmidt and Davey Garcia and Luis Gil. It's kind of funny how these guys have all kind of flip-flopped. And now, like, Davey Garcia is not really in anybody's prospect list anymore. If he is, he's way down. Luis Medina, another name that has a hard time with command, he's dropped down rankings. Heel looked good in the major leagues, but he's probably a reliever. And Schmidt can't really stay healthy. So it might be the best two to come out of the system. Might be Waldichuk and Wesneski, which would have sounded absolutely bonkers a year and a half ago. But that's how quickly prospect values can change and how quickly things can change in general here in baseball. So a few more names on the list here, then we'll get out of here. Robert Gasser of the San Diego Padres, a nice little late round target last year in FYPDs, and he's kind of shot past all expectations so far. This year, six starts, 25 and a third innings, 3.55 ERA, 1.30 whip, 8.5% walk rate, and a 34% K rate. How high do you think Gasser can climb up rankings, Chris? He's already started the rise a good amount already. How high do you think he can get?
Yeah, I think he's just going to be one of these guys that flies under the radar pretty consistently. And, maybe I'm still even a little low on him. I've got him, just right at 327. So he bumped up pretty significantly, but maybe that's still too low on him. I think he's got a really good slider. The fastball can be solid as well. Good command. He's striking guys out, getting a good swing strike rate. So overall, I really like what I've seen in the profile. I don't know. I think he could easily be, a top 200 prospect, but I think that he's one that probably doesn't get the love and respect that he deserves. So I think he's a good opportunity to buy on him.
I agree. Now, who would you rather have, him or the next guy on our list, Jared Schuster from your Atlanta Braves?
I've got Schuster a good bit higher right now. That may be more familiarity where I've watched Schuster pitch a little more, but I said I had Gasser at 327. I have Schuster at 172. So Schuster is a little more advanced and, a little further along right now. And he's progressed. I mean, you know, he started out the year really good last year in high A, and then he struggled when he got bumped to double A. But this year he's repeating double A. He threw just 14 innings in double A last year, but everything's looked really good. He got near 30% strikeout rate. He's dropped the walk rate pretty significantly. Everything looks good under the hood, in my opinion, and he's got a pretty well-rounded arsenal where he's got a really good changeup, and the fastball's developed too. Mixes in that slider some, and I think the command control is also taking a step forward this year. So I lean Schuster here and by a decent bit for the time being.
Yeah, so do I. And yeah, he's made really good gains with that fastball and the command control as well. Like you mentioned, walk rate 24.6% through his first six starts, and he's almost averaging six innings per start right now, 35 and a third innings, 153 ERA, 0.74 WHIP, 4.6% walk rate, 29.2% K rate. So yeah, very good start for Jared Schuster. So I'll take him over Gasser as well. Gasser, I had at 284, and Schuster, I had at, oh, where did I have Schuster? I got to find him real quick here. I was just looking at him, and I lost him on my 268. So I probably should have bumped Schuster even higher. So I will correct that next update. He'll probably be closer to 200, assuming he pitches well next few weeks or so before my next update. Let's end the show with, I think, the only guy on this list pitching in the major leagues. Is that correct? Yes. Only guy on this list pitching in the major leagues right now, and that is Mr. Mackenzie Gore, the former number one overall pitching prospect turned guy nobody wanted at all to the guy that everyone wants now because of how he started the year for San Diego. Yeah, so far this year, as my computer freezes up here, five starts, 2.42 ERA, 1.23 WHIP. This is in 26 innings. He's at 8.5% walk rate, 26.4% strikeout rate. Changeups look pretty good. He's only throwing it 6% of the time, but 55.6% whiff rate on the change. Slider, 30% whiff rate. Curveball, 23.8%. Curveball is actually getting hit really hard, but the four-seamer has been pretty good. 208 batting average against, averaging 95 on it. Where are you at on Gore? Because obviously, when it comes to, you know, using the term roller coaster, he's probably the pitching prospect that embodies that the most in terms of his value and how he's up and down so much over the last couple of years, obviously now on the upward trend. But do you think he can get close to, even close to what we thought he could be? Because I made that notion like, yeah, he's trending back up, but maybe he's just not the same guy that we thought he could be. And that kind of got, people were kind of getting mad at me for that. They're like, oh, how dare you? He's still young, blah, 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 blah. But I think that's a fair thing to say. Like, and that's not to say he can't be good. I think he could be a top 40, top 50 pitcher, something like that. That's still pretty damn good outcome, but maybe he's just not that future Cy Young Award winner that we thought he could be.
Right. And that's fine. Like, he doesn't need to be. Interestingly enough, like, I'm surprised his strikeout rate's as high as it is, you know, especially considering he has just a 23% CSW. He's not getting swings and misses, and he's getting no called strikes either. He's got, I would say, some bad luck go his way that from that standpoint. But I mean, the swing and strike rate is a little bit concerning at 9.7%, but that's never been who he is in the past. Like, we've consistently seen good swinging strike rates throughout his minor league career, even when he was struggling. So I'm just wondering, like, if he does, like, figure this out and start, you know, missing more bats, then we could really see the strikeout rate tick up close to 30%, which would be huge. And, you know, I mean, maybe it's not fluky that he's pitching how he is right now to 2.42 ERA. I mean, FIP's 2.63. Sierra may be a little more accurate at 3.42, but even if he's a low 3 ZRA guy, like, that's with that stuff, I mean, he could certainly be an ace. So, I mean, good four-pitch mix. The command can kind of come and go, but shoot, I mean, with what we're seeing right now, I think Gore is legit.
Legit in, like, so, like, top, give me, like, long, like, 5 years from now, he's a top what pitching?
I'd say he's top.
You think top 20?
I think he'd be top 20.
Okay, I could see that. I'm not quite ready to go there. Maybe it's because I'm still kind of getting, you know, over the last couple of years with him. But yeah, definitely think that everything you said is 100% true. Like, is if he gets that K rate to tick up even more, especially like how good it's been with a below average whiff rate and a below average chase rate as well. So there's definitely more in the tank here. We'll see. But I'm still kind of like, yeah, I'm still being a little cautious with Gore, but very encouraging to see him turn it around. And it's good. I wanted to see him succeed. seems like he's a good kid. I say kid, he's like 22, but he's a guy I was rooting for just to turn it around. All the talent he had, I'd hate to see that talent go to waste. So very nice to see him bounce back. And that's going to wrap us up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter, Chris at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at Fantrax HQ, Fantasy Pros, or over on our Patreon. And join us again next time for more fantasy baseball talk. But until then, everyone take care. Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.